commentaries on the four last books of Moses, arranged in the form of a harmony. Volume 4, by John Calvin. Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 to 33. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land. The activity and diligence of the 12 men is commended, who in so short a time examined the whole of the land from the desert of Sin to the sea, and along the whole course of the Jordan. And this, too, in the hottest part of the year, when the grapes were beginning to ripen. Thus far, then, they faithfully executed the task entrusted to them. In their report also there seems to be nothing unworthy of honest men. They had been commanded by Moses to consider the inhabitants of the land, whether they were strong or weak, and also whether the cities were fortified. And they relate nothing which was not true and fully ascertained by them. In a word, at first sight their relation contains nothing worthy of reprehension. Nevertheless, we may gather from the context that the 10 of them, whose desire was to turn away the people, spoke in such discouraging terms of their difficulties that they produced exactly the contrary effect to which Moses had hoped. No other accusation, however, is as yet alleged against them than that, by maliciously and deceptively inspiring despondency, they held back the people from entering the land. Although, therefore, they had not openly lied, they were wanting in sincerity. Perhaps, too, the whole of their address is not recorded, because Moses deemed it sufficient to state their perversity of feeling, in that they added to their praises of the land an exception, which overwhelmed the people's minds with fear. From whence also we gather a useful admonition that crafty sophists avail nothing with God, when they endeavor to cover their deceit by tortuous prevarications. Wherefore, if we desire to approve our discourse to God, we must take care to lay aside all such unfair evasions, and rejecting all disguise, to speak simply and from the heart. The 10 spies then lay a foundation of good faith in order that they may afterwards be more competent to deceive. The land, they say, is a good one, except that the people are strong. And what would obtain the blessing promised them by God, and that the attempt must by no means be made? With the same view, they thunder out the names of several nations in order to increase the alarm. For, after having reported that they had seen the sons of Anak, they state that their contests would be too arduous with the various peoples who would advance from all sides to resist them. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. That is, he restrained the murmurs of the people before Moses, against whom they had begun to rise tumultuously. Hence it appears that much was said on both sides which is passed over in silence, for there would have been no need of restraining the violence of the people unless the contention had waxed warm. His words, however, show what was the state of the whole case in question, that is, that the 10 treacherous spies had dissuaded the people from foolishly advancing to the land, which it was impossible to win, and urged them not to attack rashly very powerful enemies to whom they would be far from equally matched. But Caleb opposes them with the confidence of victory. "We," he says, "shall conquer the land," and upon this he grounds his exhortation. Moreover, there is no doubt but that, relying on God's promise, he believed that they would be successful, and thus boldly foretold it, whilst the others took not at all into consideration that, with the banner of the Lord before them, the people would come into the promised inheritance. This does not appear to accord with what Moses relates in Deuteronomy 1, where he absolves the spies and casts the whole blame on the people. But the contradiction is easily reconciled, for there he had no other object than to assert the criminality of the Israelites, who by their contumacy had for a long time impeded the fulfillment of God's promise. Omitting, therefore, that part of the history which did not affect the matter in hand, he only adverts to that which convicted them of wicked ingratitude, that is, that the fertility of the land was commended by the spies, and, consequently, since the people were abundantly assured of God's liberality, that they sinned grossly by rejecting it. He therefore states their crime to have been that they were rebellious against the mouth or word of Jehovah, that is, because they had refused to follow him when he invited them. What Moses here ascribes to Caleb alone, he elsewhere attributes to Joshua also. It is plain then that Caleb spoke for both of them, and that Joshua was prudently and modestly silent, lest a tumultuous altercation should arise. It may, however, be probably conjectured that the bravery and firmness of him who is praised was the more conspicuous, whilst the honesty of Moses is perceivable, inasmuch as, by his preference of Caleb, he obscures and diminishes the praise due to his own minister. Verse 32. But the men that went up with him said, we here see, as in a mirror, how impiety gradually gathers audaciousness and evil. At the outset, the authors of the rebellion were ambiguous in their expressions and contented themselves with obscure insinuations. They now throw aside all shame and openly and acrimoniously oppose the address of Caleb, which was certainly nothing less than casting discredit on God's words and setting at naught his power. God had promised to give the land to the Israelites. They deny that he will do so. He had afforded them many proofs that nothing is difficult to him. They deny that his aid will suffice against the forces of their enemies. Moreover, they at length break out into such impudence that in their falsehood they contradict themselves. They had confessed that the land was rich. They now declare that it consumes or devours its inhabitants, which is entirely the reverse. For this is equivalent to saying that the wretched men who cultivated it wore themselves out with their assiduous labors, or, at any rate, that it was pestilential from the inclemency of its climate. Either of which statements was utterly false. The mode in which some understand it, that is, that the giants and their violence committed indiscriminate slaughter, is without foundation. For this evil was by no means to be feared by the people after the extermination of the inhabitants. I do not doubt, then, but that it means that the cultivation of the land was difficult and full of much inconvenience. At the end of the last verse, where it is said, as grasshoppers, etc., I think the words are inverted and ought to be thus connected. As grasshoppers are despised in our eyes, so we were looked down upon by these giants on account of our lowness of stature. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.